MMH, the home of rock radio.
Listen to The Dark Side with me, Andy Shaw, for your death, black and doom metal every Thursday from 10 until midnight. Only on MMH, the home of rock radio. I'm utilitarian or an extreme metal band with a strong moral code. Their art and their left-wing politics are inseparable as they fight for a voice for those without voices and solidarity and dignity for all people. And I'm absolutely thrilled and delighted to be joined by John Crowder, who does the wonderful vocals on that album. Hi, John.
Hi, Andy. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good, mate. Yeah, I'm good.
Brilliant. Brilliant album. What? You obviously must be really, really happy with how it's turned out.
Yeah, we're thrilled with it. So we only released it back in May, beginning of May, and it's absolutely fantastic. So first of all, it was pretty exciting for us to be able to do a project through lockdown, so we couldn't actually meet up and rehearse this sort of stuff, so we had to sort of find other ways to collaborate. But also all of the stuff that lockdown brings with it, all of the sort of political commentary that sort of builds up inside you, was a really, really good catalyst, I guess, to write a load of songs. We still listen back to it in its entirety, and we think we've put together a really solid album.
Oh no, I totally agree. I think the album for the, I don't know how many time I was listening to it again last night, it is a great extreme metal album and works brilliantly with the messages that you're trying to get across. Well, not trying to get across, you are getting across. Is that how you would describe, would you describe it as extreme metal?
It gets called a lot of different things, right? But we tend to not spend too much energy trying to put it into any particular bracket. In the same way that Napalm Death would, right? So their really early stuff would be grindcore.
Yeah.
And then they became influenced by much more death metal stuff. And then recently they've gone this sort of exciting, like, Godflesh type direction with lots of exciting new influences, and they've covered a Sonic Youth track and stuff like that. But their sound is constantly, like, changing and evolving depending on what they want to do. But they are always extreme, and they see themselves that way.
Yeah.
So we would see ourselves the same way. We get called, you know, everything from anarcho-punk to grindcore, and there are bits of those genres in there, definitely. But consistently, the songs themselves are fast and extreme and angry. And yeah, so extreme fits, I think.
Excellent. So what comes first, your ethical moral stance or the music, or is it a melding of the two?
It's a really nice blend of both, actually, because we sort of know what we want to write about. Like, I'll go to Amara and say, you know, I want to do a song about shitty landlords, right? Or I want to do a song about refugees not being treated with the respect, or I want to do a song about how the media presents this particular topic, right? So we've got an idea of what we want to talk about and how we want to do that. And then Amara and Jay and me will take that idea and work music around it. And then sometimes the music will evolve the message, and then sometimes the message informs the music.
Yeah. No, it's really, really strong and really, really powerful what you're doing. I personally have to applaud what you're doing. So that album, was it all, you got everything put to bed before this whole COVID nonsense?
Yeah. Well, it's really interesting, actually. So it kind of came out of nowhere, right? We got a few people interested around the idea of doing something that was a cross between sort of Napalm Death and Discharge. Right, we wanted sort of D-beat style stuff, that extreme style, but also just the raw, brash in your faceness of political grindcore like Napalm Death and Brutal Truth and stuff like that. And so that was the start of that thought process. And then we started writing with the initial plan of releasing a demo. And that demo would be 2 or 3 tracks. And then we might think about doing an EP, and then maybe we'll do an album, and you know, we were still pretty open. And then once we started writing, we couldn't stop, right? So we wrote the first track we wrote was Unaccountable. That was our first, we released that as a single with like as a B-side with Wall of Debt. Those two tracks were written pretty close together, but actually by the time we had released Wall of Debt and Unaccountable together as a single, most of Fight War Not Wars had been written, and we'd just thrown out the idea of a demo completely and said, well, let's go for the album because we've got enough tracks and we've got, you know, and we've got a strong enough lineup, so let's do that.
Yeah, definitely works. Brilliant. And during this period, have you been able to carry on writing and making your music?
Yeah, absolutely. So our plans are at the moment to release an EP before the year is out. We would very much like to do something that is, well, we've already mostly got the tracks for the EP. The EP is going to be specifically around the issue of police brutality, which has obviously been a really big deal this year. Yeah. We probably could have released it a bit earlier. We deliberately chose not to because we thought it would be more, we didn't want to be releasing and diluting all of those really important messages that were going out at that time. And then secondly, when the like main media and things like that lose interest and it becomes less newsworthy for them, these people are still struggling with police brutality all over the world. And so it's a really good opportunity to start the conversation again and add some more fuel to that fire and keep it going. And so we decided we wanted to do that a bit later in the year. So we're expecting to release something, yeah, probably in the next few months. And then we've already begun work on album number 2, which we're expecting to come out next year sometime.
So. Brilliant. What kind of feedback have you been getting? Has it been positive?
It's been really good. Yeah, I don't think we've had any negative feedback, actually, which is interesting, right? Because people, like, political music tends to get a lot of negative attention. Like, you see people, particularly prominent musicians like Rage Against the Machine and Napalm Death and people like that, they tend to get a lot of attention from people telling them to stay in their lane and don't, yeah, you know, keep your mouth shut and keep politics out of music and all that bollocks. And we deliberately created the band to fight that. We deliberately, from the start, decided we were always going to be political and it was going to be an integral part of our ethos and an integral part of our message. And actually, it's something worth talking about, and we would never want to separate music and politics. We don't think you can. And we expected that to provoke quite a visceral reaction from people, but actually it hasn't. A lot of people are really on board with it. And I think there's a few reasons for that. I think firstly, we deliberately chose to not align ourselves with a specific political party. The actual the actual ethos of the music and what we sing about is anarchic. So it's completely free of alignment to state or structure or anything like that. And actually it's just based around concepts and ideas. And those concepts are loose things like dignity and how we work together as a society and what society should do for people who live in it and things like that. And so what's quite interesting is that a lot of the debate in the mainstream is directed at parties because ultimately if you are in a position of power and you want to prevent a societal change from happening, the way you do that is you attack the mechanism of democracy that would put somebody in power who would change it, right? So you see a lot of, in the UK, for example, you see a lot of the media specifically attacking the Labour Party because they were the most likely at the last election to be a threat to the Conservative Party. In the US, you see them explicitly targeting the Democrats because the Democrats are the biggest threat to the Republican Party. And so that is sort of how they interact. But what they don't do as much of is address the underlying ideas that might make people vote for a non-conservative party. And those ideas are still pretty popular, even if people have been sort of weaponized against Democrats or the Labour Party or members of the Labour Party, and they don't particularly like the personalities there. They're still pretty on board with the idea that healthcare should be free and that nobody should starve to death and all of those things, right? So when we talk about concepts, they're pretty popular. I think that's been part of it. And the other part of it as well is that we were particularly conscious that the music has to stand on its own two feet. And yeah. So the riffs have to be good. Yeah. And the songs have to be good. And there's got to be hooks in there. It's the sort of thing that you'd want to go and see at a show, as well as something where the lyrics are just good. If it was only lyrics, we could release a book of poetry, you know?
Yeah, but, yeah.
But it's important to us that the songs themselves are something that you want to listen to again and again and again.
No, no, so, absolutely.
Yeah, it's been positive, really positive. So.
Brilliant. No, no, I was going to. I obviously on first listening, I found it extremely refreshing that you've got music being produced that is giving a strong social commentary to what's going on and affecting the lives of lots of us, and it isn't being shouted loud enough, and I think with your the way you've put it across with your music, I think it is the way a lot of people are talking and the way a lot of people feel. So I think you've hit the nail. Perfect timing.
We try and we're trying to get the concepts across really clearly, right? So the concepts of social solidarity and the political ideology that if you want to label it would probably be something like anarcho-syndicalism, right? Which is that people should own amongst themselves within their community, should own the mechanisms of power and control, right? And that means that if they do that, they can't be exploited because they are as close to power as anyone else, right? That's the core concept. But you can rent as many books as you like on anarcho-syndicalism, and unfortunately they don't mean a thing if people aren't understanding the message, right? We know that, I mean, these books, they're out there, they exist, we read them, but actually most people are not going to go out there and get Kropotkin's book, the Book of Bread, right? They're not going to get those books and read them and understand the concepts that way. So what we need is in a way that, with contemporary media, the way that people want to listen to music and they want to consume media, we need to find ways to get that message out in a way that people understand it.
Yeah, brilliant. Brilliant. The artwork that goes with it, is that something that you all had a handle on, or did you get somebody to do that for you?
So Amara produced the album art. We picked It was a photograph that was I can't remember the exact details, but it was displayed in a gallery, and the reason behind it was part of a series of works that were explicitly photographing what they would call hostile architecture. And hostile architecture, its main design feature is to move on homeless people. So you see it in city centres and all sorts of things. If you see a bench that's got a armrest in the middle of it, that's hostile architecture. If you see spikes outside shop fronts, that's hostile architecture. If you see sloped benches in bus stops that you can't quite sit on, again, that's all hostile architecture, right? And it's to stop people who are vulnerable from sleeping there and resting there. And so we thought it was a really, really good way of visualizing the hostility, but like the hidden hostility in the system that targets vulnerable people. So we deliberately chose that for the album artwork. And then in the book, so we, as part of the code of ethics that we've got, we did not want to produce more plastic waste and put that out into the environment. So the ways that we chose to produce the physical media were twofold. You could either buy a tape which was fully recycled. So it's a tape that you'll probably, like, if you listen to this tape, you'll hear the first side of our album, and then it will cut into some 1940s country music or something like that, because we've fully recycled the tape. Yeah. The other way we did it was people want to own something, and that's why they buy CDs, and that's why they buy vinyl, and they want a physical thing to hold and look at, right? And we thought that was a really good opportunity to put a book in their hands. So we printed on fully recycled paper with vegan-friendly inks. We've printed what we called a manifesto, and in that back of that manifesto is a download code. And so you can own something, and you can also go and own the music digitally and listen to it wherever you want. And so we chose those two methods. And the book is just a really bright, colourful, artistic way for us to express all of those lyrics and ideas and expand on concepts. And there's protest guidance in there. If you buy the album on Bandcamp and download it, you get the book as a PDF in there as well. So anyone can get that. But there's loads of really cool art in that as well. That's all based around the themes of the songs, which is cool. And that was a collaborative effort between the band. We all got together and decided, okay, how do we want to show this? What visuals do we want? We deliberately picked things like really powerful protest photos. So there's a section in there which is just a collection of really great protest photos that cover everything from like the poll tax riots to contemporary protests. I think there's even I don't think there's Black Lives Matter stuff in there, but there's very, very recent protest pictures.
Wow, brilliant, John. Honestly, I really can't thank you enough for your time. It's been an absolute pleasure and a privilege to have a chat.
Listen to The Dark Side with me, Andy Shaw, for your death, black and doom metal every Thursday from 10 until midnight, only on MMH, the home of rock radio.
MMH, the home of rock radio.